This Sunday will be my 31st wedding anniversary. 31 years this Sunday with the beautiful Danielle. Last year, we celebrated our 30th wedding anniversary at a place I really love, the River Cafe, right underneath the Brooklyn Bridge on the Brooklyn side, a gorgeous restaurant. And Berkey's involved with that, too. He's everywhere. He's the man. He's a real famous chef. So here he is, Chef David Burke, or should I call you Reverend David Burke or Dr. David Burke? What's going on, Berkey?
Good morning, Sid. How you doing?
I'm doing great. In all seriousness, since the last time you were on, you've added a bunch more titles. I know you did your brother's wedding and others. You are now the Reverend David Burke?
The minister.
Minister?
Yeah.
And how do you become that? You just, what do you do?
I ordained to marry my son a little over a year ago at the Red Horse in Rumson because he didn't have a game plan. And then I've done about four other weddings since then. And people, customers, not only I can marry you, I can make the meal and I got a bakery. I can do the cake too.
Oh, God. So, yes, if you're interested out there, David will marry you and feed you. And on top of that, on a serious note, congratulations. I believe the best culinary school in the country, Johnson & Wales, gave you an honorary degree?
Yeah, they got me a doctorate degree about, I don't know, 6-8 weeks ago down in they have campuses in Providence, Rhode Island, and one in Charlotte. And I have restaurants in Charlotte. So we've been, it was really a proud moment. It was kind of, I didn't realize the importance of it. It's a really, very few people in the restaurant industry and hospitality have gotten a doctorate from a college such as that. So I was really, really honored to be frank. It was really cool.
Did they have like one of those guys from the Food Channel come down and do a big story or Guy Fieri or something? You're a doctor, damn it. Come on.
Guy Fieri was honored as a doctorate. He's one of the few as well.
Oh, he is.
He wasn't there, obviously. But no, it was. I made the commencement speech. They honored me before my speech to the students. And, I don't get nervous. And I was nervous about that one. Sure. Because it was so formal, you know, it was like a real, the restaurant hospitality business.
Yeah.
Very, very loosey-goosey, you know, we have a lot of fun and you don't take ourselves too seriously a lot. But then when you're in a university like that with the professors and the deans and all that, it's like, wow, this is really special, formal, and I'll never forget it. And I was really touched.
Well, congratulations to you. You know, what's funny, Dave, is here you are, and there's a lot of men, of course, world-famous chefs, but on an anecdotal note, everybody I speak to goes, oh, my mom, she's a great cook. My wife, she's a great cook. You know, daddy's outside. He's making burgers and hot dogs on Memorial Day. But, you know, mommy's making all the food, and my wife is making all the food, and yet the greatest chefs in the world, not omitting women, but the greatest chefs in the world in numbers are men. How is that possible that every person, their mom is the best cook, but men are the best chefs?
I think people don't realize, even with the Food Network on and this 52% of the students in culinary schools right now are female, that I don't think people realize the physicality and the grueling hours that a chef puts in. I mean, if you look at carpenters and roofers, there a lot of them are men too. The work is physically demanding.
Yeah.
Realized by watching the Food Network and there's a lot of great female chefs and the ones that are really there's a lot of great female pastry chefs and wine makers and all that in the industry, but the modern day chef in the kitchen 60 hours a week on their feet. You know, they don't show Giada carrying up 60-pound case of chickens from the basement on Food Network.
Right.
You know what I mean? So there's a lot of heavy lifting. There's a lot of sacrifice in lifestyle. You know, you're giving up holidays, weekends. So if a woman wants to start a family and have children, it's tough to get a schedule that allows you to be home with the kids. If you're a traditional chef is working 55 to 60 hours a week.
Got it.
That's great. Yeah, so it's taxing on on the body. It's taxing on the brain and also on your social life and or any plans you might have for normalcy in a schedule based on the corporate work week.
Got it. So before we get to these specific restaurants, people can enjoy heading to the Jersey Shore this summer. This is a very nice thing that we're doing for folks because you're always looking for good restaurants. Where were you? What did you cook? What did you make? When it occurred to you, David Burke, that, oh, my God, I can be really good at this. I could be like a famous chef. How old were you? What were you making? What were you thinking?
Interesting question. I was working in Homedale, Hazlitt Homedale. I was a Sheraton Inn when I was a teenager. I was doing dishes first, and I was amazed by the kitchen. And I couldn't get a cooking job there. You know, the guys back then in the 70s, they were, some of them were Vietnam vets. Some were just hit the dropouts, hippies, really caring, artsy people. The chef was a military guy, like a Marine, so, you know, disciplined. And they had the most fun ever. You know, it was bears during the day. And then at night when that first order came in, it was like a symphony. So it was very appealing to a young person that didn't want to be necessarily, you know, it's hard to tell what you want to be when you're 16. You know, you really don't know. And you got your parents saying, what are you going to do with your life? You know?
Yeah.
So I got thrown into a kitchen as a dishwasher and kind of fell in love with it. And then I moved around to a couple of the places. I had a bread food, chop veggies, make crepes, work in the mall, hitchhiked to Mama's Mall. And then I started working at a country club, a Navison Country Club. And they taught me how to be the broiler cook. And a lot of it is on the job training. And then I saw what they were making. The saute guys are making the sauces. I was just cooking meats and burgers and butchering, but still important. Then I went to the fromagerie in Rumson because I was a good enough cook. And that's where things hit me like, wow, this is sauces, pastries, you know, snails and sausages. And then I was really hooked. And then I started making things. And, you know, and I saw what the other chefs did, and I realized, you know what, I can do this, and I can be good at it. If the opportunity was there, it's like ripe fruit hanging. You got to figure out how to climb that tree and pick the fruit. It's not rocket science, but there's a lot of passion. Yes, you got to be smart, and you got to figure your way through the obstacles in this business, which there are many. And then I went to school. And from school on, I worked in homes on weekends. I moved to Norway. You know, I've been around.
Yeah.
France.
Yeah.
Then you get to a point. River Cafe, by the way, to clarify, I don't work there or own it anymore, but that's what launched my career in the 80s, living underneath the Brooklyn Bridge before Dumbo was Dumbo. And I spent about a decade there working for Buzzy O'Keefe, who actually sent me to pastry school in Paris. And it did a lot for my career. So, but yes, and I still think it's one of the greatest restaurants today.
Oh, it absolutely is. It is. So I want to get to a few of these places. We'll do one apiece. One on the way to the shore, 1 minute from the beaches, and one when you get there. I want to talk specifically about The Goat by David Burke. What about that restaurant? Was that Route 36?
Yes, Route 36. It's not far from where I grew up. It's in a town called Union Beach. If you get off exit 117 on the way down the parkway and take Route 36, which is a Bayshore highway, takes you right down to Sandy Hook. The Goat is a couple miles off of exit 117. It's a wood-burning fire oven that makes pizza and pasta, basically an Italian-style restaurant, trattoria. And upstairs, we have a beautiful room, has outdoor seating on the lower level in the dining room. And it has the upstairs, it's a nice room that we do trivia. We're doing a dinner in the dark Thursday where 40 people are blindfolded, tasting 4 wines and 5 courses.
Wow.
They take the blindfolds off during dessert. There's Q&A. You know, it's a meet and greet, a lot of fun. We've done that twice at the Goat, which is 8 miles down the highway. But so the Goat is a trattoria, modern American, great pizza and good steaks and stuff. Yeah, but it's more of a Italian style restaurant.
Right. And got it. Right.
36. You come further down the highway, you're into Keensburg. I bought the famous Dixie Lee Bakery a little over a year ago. 85-year-old bakery, stood the test of time. We're modernizing it and making some pastry for our restaurants. We got a big project in the city near Grand Central that we're going to be making tons of stuff for. And that is a new business for me, and it's exciting. And that's called Dixie Lee Bakery in Keensburg. And Keensburg's going through a regentrification and lots of growth and building, similar to what happened in Asbury and Long Branch. So that's exciting. And then you continue down 36. You carve your way through Atlantic Highlands and the Highlands where I live. And you go into Rumson before Sandy Hook, and that's where the goat is.
Right.
The goat is, I'm sorry, the Red Horse.
Right, exactly. The Red Hook is actually the Red Horse, you mean, right?
The Red Horse, yeah, my mistake. The Red Horse was the Fromagerie restaurant, one of the best in the state for sure, underneath Hubert Marcus Peter. And I worked there in high school as a kid. I was fortunate enough to be able to buy it. It's called Red Horse now, and we have a Red Horse in White Plains opened about 12 weeks ago as well, and we plan on more Red Horses throughout in the right. The Red Horse is our landmark restaurant and one of our flagships. It's a steakhouse that has some Asian flavors and sushi. Great place. Beautiful town, Brumson.
Yeah, no, it is a beautiful town. I love it there, too. Bon Jovi, Springsteen, they spent some time there. And then, by the way, folks, if you're on your way down to the shore, check out Orchard Park, another great restaurant by David Burke. So, Berkey, it sounds like the world is great. You got beautiful restaurants up and down the Jersey Shore. You're a famous chef. You're a reverend. You're a doctor. And let me just say this, David, it couldn't happen to a nicer guy. Congrats.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I really do.
No, I know you do.
We also have one on the ocean in Seabright. It's called Drift House. I got to mention it.
Oh, on the ocean. What's it called again?
Drift House by David Burke. It's in one of the beach clubs in Seabright.
Right.
And it's a seafood and pasta restaurant doing extremely well. But you got views of the ocean in the bay. So, and you're right. Orchard Park's probably the prettiest restaurant in New Jersey.
Listen, Dave, it's great to talk to you, buddy. Continued success. I'm happy for you. I will see you one of these days at one of your very, very fine restaurants. You've got one in Fort Lee, too. And we will talk again very, very soon. Continued success, buddy. Enjoy your summer.
Congrats on your anniversary. Tell Danielle I said hello. Hope to see you.
Thank you. I will tell her, David. She loves you, too. Thank you. There he is, folks. What a terrific guy and extraordinary talented guy, Chef David Burke. All right.